Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 28 through 32. This is the reading of God's word. Be careful to listen to all these words which I command you, so that it may be well with you and your sons after you forever, for you will be doing what is good and right in the sight of the Lord your God. When the Lord your God cuts off before you the nations which you are going in to dispossess, and you dispossess them and dwell in their land, beware that you are not ensnared to follow them after they are destroyed before you, that you do not inquire after their gods, saying, "How do these nations serve their gods, that I also may do likewise?" You shall not behave thus toward the Lord your God, for every abominable act which the Lord hates, they have done for their gods, for they even burn their sons and daughters in the fire to their gods. Whatever I command you, you shall be careful to do. You shall not add to nor take away from it. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing of your word. Oh Father, perfect your image in us as we hear your word, so that we may be more and more like you. And Father, let us truly hear your word, so that our faith will increase. And with that increasing faith, let us witness Jesus Christ and the eternal salvation that he has accomplished for us. O Father, receive much glory and pour out your blessings upon your people who are hearing your word. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Like I said, last Lord's Day, we are looking at a mini-series called Worship. And these are topical sermons, we're not really looking carefully into those passage that we have read, but we're looking at it in a topical sense. We have seen how when we are worshiping God, we have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Spiritually, we have arrived in heaven. Together with myriads of angels and the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and the brothers and sisters all around the world, we are worshiping our triune God in that glorious place. You and I, we are meeting with God. We are having a sweet fellowship of heaven with God. We are worshiping God in heaven. And it is very important that we understand where we have come and what we are doing and to whom we are doing what we're doing. What is worship? The word worship simply means worship. Thus, we worship someone who is worthy. In the Bible, many words are used for worship, and if we were to put their meanings together, this is what we get. To bow down, to do homage, to bend the knee, to kiss toward, to worthiness of someone. It is to acknowledge the greatness of God. Revelation chapter 5, verse 12, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Revelation chapter 4 verse 11, worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and because of your will they exist and were created. We are worshiping our God who is the Creator and the Savior and the Lord. We are worshiping our Lord Jesus Christ, who alone has accomplished our eternal perfect salvation. And worship is covenantal. God is our God, and we are His people. Thus, worship is done by His people, His church. There is no such thing as worship without the church. And the church without worship is also a nonsense. Worship. Whom are we worshiping? And in this worship, who is the center? Whom are we pleasing in worship? Worship is toward God. He is the center, and we worship to please Him and Him alone. We see so many problems in the churches because people just do not understand this. So many people think that worship is toward men. Man is the center, and so many churches try their best to please men in their worship. It's all about what people want, what people like. So when it comes to worship, they are focused on what people want. So many people are focused about what they are getting and what they are experiencing in the worship. That's what they talk about when it comes to worship. It's about whatever they get or whatever they do not get. So many churches are now into what is called the seeker-sensitive worship or open worship. Seeker-sensitive worship. You are so sensitive to people who come to these services. So your objective is to please those people who come to worship so they will come back next week because they like it. Worship that is welcomed even by the non-believers. They want to do worship that even non-believers love. But let me ask you a question. Can a non-believer worship God? That's the question. Can a non-believer worship God? The answer is definite no. When a non-believer comes to church and participates in praising and praying, whom does he praise and to whom does he pray? Does he do that to God that he does not even believe? Just because that person sings and praises and prays, is he worshiping? Only the believers can truly worship God. I mean, think about it. How can you worship God that you don't even believe? So why would anybody Design worship service according to what the non-believers want in worship. Why would anybody do that? Well, they do that because they want those non-Christians to like it so that they will come. But you have to understand, what is worship? What are we doing as we gather here to worship God? This is what the seeker-sensitive worship is all about. Catering to what the non-believers desire and approve in worship. And this is absolutely wrong. We are here to worship our God. That is our purpose. All other reasons and purposes are secondary. To worship God is our ultimate purpose. And I'm going to go into this later a little bit, but worship is not even for evangelism. You know, some people, some churches, they use worship as evangelism. No, we are here to worship God. That is our focus. That is our purpose. Everything else comes secondary. And remember, we are here, when we worship, we are here to please God, not please men. We really don't care what those non-believers do like or not like. What we care is, what does God like? What does He want? Because we are here to please God. And I think we need to understand this very clearly. I'm not here to please you. If there's anyone out there think that, you have got wrong. That is wrong. I'm not here to please you, and you're not here to please me. We're not here to please anybody except God. And if people don't like that, then what can we do? Because our purpose is to please God. And how can we please God? We have to do everything according to what He commands, what He says. Isn't that very simple? To me, it is very, very simple. And yet there's so much confusion. It really does not matter what men want or what they desire. When it comes to worship, it really doesn't matter. So we don't ask people, do you like it? Whatever we do in this worship, do you like it? No. But we do ask, is it biblical? Is that what the Bible says to do? That question you have to ask. But whether people like it or not, it really doesn't matter. And what does a true Christian want and desire? What does a true Christian want and desire? Well, it is to please God. No? Or is it to just please ourselves? Yeah, so worship becomes self-centered. You know, I like it. I like that praise. I like that hymn. I like it. Well, it doesn't matter whether you like it or not. Does God like it? If God likes it, then even if you don't like it, we have to do it. But if you're truly Christian, why would you not like it if God likes it? To please God is our pleasure. To delight Him is our delight. Worship is our expression of our love for God. Only the people who love God can truly worship God. When we begin worship, I say what? God's children. Or I say, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, please stand and prepare your hearts and let us worship our God. I do not ask everyone to stand and worship God, only God's children. Because if you are not God's child, you will not. I don't care what you do, you're not worshiping. And this is not to say we don't love those non-Christians who come to our church. We do love them. But our purpose is not to please that person. Our purpose is to please God. Yes, you have to love the spirit or the soul of that non-believer. Please love them. But when we are worshiping, we're not here to please those people. Worship is not something that anyone in the world can come and do. This is not to say, and I repeat this, very important, this is not to say you do not invite the non-believers to worship. We earnestly pray that the Holy Spirit would work in them as they hear the gospel preached. But worship of God is not centered on those people. We're not here to design our worship so that they will like it. Worship is not primarily toward men. Worship is holy worship, which means it is a set apart. It is something that belongs to heaven, not this world. The non-believers come to see or observe worship, whereas you and I, we come to worship God. To worship God is our ultimate purpose. We have been saved to worship our God. The reason why we live is to worship our God. The reason why we breathe is to worship our God. This is who we are, worshipers of God. Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of God who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. We are here to proclaim the excellencies of our God, and we do that best in worship. This is what brings joy to our hearts. When we worship God, we are most happy. Psalm 34, verse 1 through 4, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Did you hear that, psalmist? He's calling out his brothers and sisters, worship God with him. Psalm 105, verse 1 through 4, oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Speak of all his wonders. Glory in his holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Confession after confession in the Bible of true believers. They delight in worshiping God. Then the question is, then how shall we worship God? To tell you the conclusion first, this is how conclusion is. We are to worship God according to his word. According to his will. And his will is expressed only in his word, the Bible. We express our love for him in our worship, and Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commands. You must worship him according to his word. Period. Church is not a democracy. Your elders will never ask you, what should we do? Give us your opinions. No, your elders, if they are elders, then they're supposed to know the word of God. And they will just obey the word. I don't know. Nowadays, it's all about polls. You know, election time. Polls. What people want triumphs. Not in this religion. What God wants triumphs. This is what our church is all about. So you could come to session and say, wait a minute, Bible doesn't say that. Why are you doing that? That's perfectly welcome. But you don't come and say, people don't like it. We should stop. Or people like this and that, so we should do that. That is not allowed. You have to show us from the Bible that that is what God wants. Then we will do it. No matter how much people hate it, we will do it if the Bible says so. Go to Leviticus chapter 10. Leviticus chapter 10. And this, I think you need to understand also. We delight in covenantal worship. When I say covenantal worship, what do I mean is this, that God makes covenant with you and your children. We dare not separate our children from our worship. So many churches, they only adults get together and they separate their kids and send them to another room. And, you know, some what we call 전도사 is leading. Whatever that they're leading, it's not worship. So we block our kids from coming to worship. We say, we don't want you when we worship. Get out. Man, that kills me. Worship is covenantal. It's you and your children. We come together. All of us. That's why, you know, kids will make noises and they will be crying and things like that. But we rather hear that noise and crying than not have them with us. Because worship is very, very important even for them. They are to come to worship. Yes, they don't understand, but they will understand very soon. Especially when their parents, you know, teach them what worship is. So, it's okay. You hear, you know, crying and noise. I mean, to them, to me, actually, it's a sound of delightness. But anybody not being here, that's sad. That makes me sad. So you should have that same kind of attitude. And when kid makes a noise, you know, just kind of understand why we allow that. And just, you know, don't, when you look, then you're giving, you know, pressure to parents and stuff. So just, it's okay. You don't have to look. Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1 through 7. Now, Nadab and Abihu, these two people are sons of Aaron. Oh, it says that right there. Okay. Now, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took their respective fire pans, sacrifices, right? And after putting fire in them, placed incense on it and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. Now, why is it strange fire? Because God had not commanded them. That is why it is strange fire. If God said to sacrifice that fire, then it's not strange. But see, God did not command it. That is why it is strange. Verse 2. And fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them. And they died before the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, it is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I will be treated as holy. And before all the people, I will be honored. So Aaron, therefore, kept silent. Moses called also to Mishael and Elzaphan, the sons of Aaron's uncle Uzziel, and said to them, come forward, carry your relatives away from the front of the sanctuary to the outside of the camp. So they came forward and carried them still in their tunics to the outside of the camp, as Moses had said. Then Moses said to Aaron and to his sons, Eleazar and Ithamar, do not uncover your heads nor tear your clothes so that you will not die and that he will not become wrathful against all the congregation. But your kinsmen, the whole house of Israel, shall bewail the burning which the Lord has brought about. You shall not even go out from the doorway of the tent of meeting, or you will die. For the Lord's anointing oil is upon you. So they did according to the word of Moses. Nadab and Abihu, the son of Aaron, they sacrificed to God according to their own sinful desire, whatever they wanted to sacrifice to God. Did God accept their sacrifice? No. Just because you sincerely do these things that you come up with in worship, you really think God will accept because you did it sincerely. or you have to do what the Bible says. I want you to understand how serious it is not obeying God's command. We are not to just worship the way that we want to. Strange worship that God did not command. Do you remember in Genesis 4? God accepted Abel's sacrifice, but not Cain's. So just offering sacrifices to God is not enough. Just because you offer something to God doesn't mean God accepts it. Just doing the singing and praying and so on are not enough. You must do it according to His will, according to His command. Isaiah 29 verse 13, NIV says, "These people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is made up only of rules taught by men." God says, these people, they don't really worship. They only worship me with their lips. Their hearts are far away from me. Why? Because they worship only according to the rules taught by men. Whatever people want to do. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 8 and 9, Jesus says, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men." You have to understand how serious it is. Worship God according to what man says. Or what men want. Colossians chapter 2 verse 22b through 23. "Do you submit yourself to decrees in accordance with the commandments and teachings of men? These are matters which have, to be sure, the appearance of wisdom in self-made religion and self-abasement and severe treatment of the body, but are of no value against fleshly indulgence." Did you hear these words? Self-made religion. We cannot let worship that we do self-made religion. Asking what people want and just do what they want. Self-imposed worship. Worship according to self. God does not accept. I don't care how sincere you are. God will not accept. Our passage, Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 28 through 32. Verse 32 says what? "Whatever I command you, you shall be careful to do. You shall not add to nor take away from it." No adding, no subtracting. Just do what God said. Understand? The Deuteronomy passage says what? Do not go to other religion and ask, how do you guys worship God so that we may do the same? No, God says, don't do that. Do not follow what they do. But He says, whatever I command you, you shall be careful to do. You shall not add to nor take away from it. This is the reformed principle of worship. It is what is called regulative principle of worship. Do only what God has commanded us to do. No adding, no subtraction. We are not to ask, how do these nations serve their gods? And this is the difference between the Reform worship and the non-Reform worship. Reform worship says, we do only the things that God specifically commanded us to do in His Word. Non-Reformed, their focus is on not doing the things that God specifically commanded us not to do in His worship. All the rest is up to us. So this is the difference. Reform worship, we do what God specifically says in the Bible. Non-reform says, yes, we're not going to do what God specifically says, don't do it. They're not going to do that. But if God is silent, then it's up to us. We could do whatever we want because God is silent. For example, lighting a candle. You know, some churches do that, candle. Well, they say, God does not say not to do it. So, it is up to us. So they do it. But the Bible says, do not add or subtract from His Word. And you and I, we are Calvinists, and we believe in the doctrine of total depravity. When a non-reformed person says that we are able to decide what we can do in worship to please God, we know he is not a Calvinist. He believes that a sinner is able to please God on his own ability. And that is not what the Bible teaches. No, we, because of sin, are not able to please our God on our own ability. No matter what you come up with, because you're not perfect, whatever that you come up with, you're not confident that God will like it, unless God says so in His Word. It's the arrogance that people think that they could come up with whatever they like and they think God will love it. But we believe what is called the total depravity of man. You've fallen in sin. So that whatever that you come up with, even after you're saved, you're not perfect. So that whatever you come up with, you're not confident that God will love it 100%. Where is your confidence if the Bible doesn't say, how do you know that God will love it? And it came from your sinful mind. But when Bible says, then you know He will love it because He said so. He said to do it. Do you understand? It's all about what you believe. Those churches will do whatever they do because that's what they believe. And they believe in the wrong doctrines. A sinner is a factory of idols. And we will never trust sinners when it comes to pleasing God. We're only going to trust what the Bible says. Understand? What the Bible says. Worship is toward God, not everyone else. There is no such thing as Mother's Day worship or Father's Day worship or whatever worship. It is the Lord's Day, not Mother's Day. That's what the world says it is. But to you and me, it's never a Mother's Day. It's a Lord's Day. Who told you that it was Mother's Day? God or the world? Am I against mothers? No. Please love your mothers. That's God's command. But Lord's Day is Lord's Day. Nobody will tell me any other. Because God set it aside as a Lord's Day. You and I are not to follow what the world says we should do. Honor mother on that Lord's Day. No, we are to honor our mothers every single day. Who are they to tell me what I should do or how I should honor my mother or father? Because definitely Bible doesn't say that we should set us one Sunday out of whole year as a Mother's Day. Who is telling us to do that? Definitely not God. God says to honor your mother every single day. Please, I'm not against mothers. I love my mother. And I love your mothers too. And your fathers. You know, we have Father's Day too. Yeah, what does Mother's Day have to do with worship? And what does carnation has to do with worship? You let me know if there's any connection with worshiping God and carnations. What are we doing? We're worshiping God. Nothing else. Yeah, what does eggs have to do with worship? I don't know. What does bunnies have to do with worship? I don't understand that. We're not here to honor our mothers and fathers in worship. You know, one day, a long time ago, I even remember during Mother's Day worship, they were actually praising mother through a song they were singing. Praising mothers! No, we're here to praise God. No one else. Not even our mothers. We are not gathered in worship to honor anybody else. We are gathered to honor our God. Yes, giving thanksgiving to God for your mothers and your fathers, that's fine. But you are to do that every worship. And God is the one who calls and invites us to worship Him. Not only we do not decide how we are to worship God, but on what day we worship God. God decides when we gather to worship Him. You know, in the Old Testament, Moses' time, God told Moses to blow the trumpet whenever God wanted people to gather. It's not like one day Moses gets up and says, it's a good day to gather for worship, and he just blows his trumpet. No, he cannot do that. God has to tell him to blow the trumpet to gather his people. God commanded his people to gather to worship corporately on the Lord's Day. So Wednesday night service, Christmas service, New Year's Eve service, God never commanded his people to gather for a corporate worship on those times. Are we against gathering of God's people? No, nothing wrong with gathering Wednesday night, gathering, you know, Christmas Day, gathering New Year's Eve, nothing wrong with that. But for a corporate worship, it is wrong. Worshipping of God as His church. is only on the Lord's Day. Yeah, so, you know, Christmas, we could gather and have fun. But we're not going to worship God as a church. God only commanded us to do that on the Lord's Day. Thus, not to come to church on the Lord's Day is sin. But not going to Wednesday night worship is not sin. Westminster Confession of Faith 21, verse 1b, but the acceptable way of worshiping the true God is instituted by himself and so limited by his own revealed will that he may not be worshipped according to the imaginations and devices of men or the suggestions of Satan under any visible representation or any other way not prescribed in the Holy Scriptures. And we say amen to that. Let us look at our program. You know, I know it's very tiny. Look at our program. We start with call to worship and we end with the benediction. Now, look at the program. Do you see anything that we do in worship that the Bible does not command us to do? If we do, then we must stop doing it. Does God call us to pray? Yes, so we pray. Does God tell us to, you know, pay tithe and, I should not say tithe, offering? Yes. Does God says us to praise God? Yes. That's why we do these things. It's not like we just come up with anything we just want. But show me one thing that Bible doesn't tell his people to do in our worship program. And if you show me, then we have to stop it. It's not just whatever we want. Now, of course, you know, how many times we sing, you know, does preaching come before offering and after offering? You know, Bible is not silent. Bible is silent about those things. So obviously those things we have to kind of determine. But what we do, God has prescribed it in his word. We are not saying that our program is perfect, far from it, because in my ministry of 20 years or so, we changed many times. So obviously, you know, we might change again. So obviously, our program is not perfect, but we must try to go closer to the Bible. And worship is a sweet fellowship with God in heaven. It is a dialogue between God and his people. Thus, we could divide all things we do in worship into two categories. One, the thing that we do. So like praise, is that what God does, what we do? Praise is what we do. But how about preaching? Even though he uses an ordained person, preaching is not what we do, but what God does. So whenever we come to a section when God is doing something, God always uses a person who is ordained to do that, representing him. So ordination is setting apart a person to do this kind of stuff. So announcement, we do not believe that is part of worship. Now, if someone is using announcement in terms of how we could find out about affairs of our brothers and sisters so that we may pray for them and know, you know, get to know them more, it's fine. I'm not against that. But just pure announcements, we believe it's not part of worship. That's why we make announcement before worship begins. Notice that the worship begins with God's call to worship and ends with God's benediction. So, worship, God invites His people to worship in the beginning, and at the end, God blesses His people and dismisses them with benediction. So it's God calling and God dismissing. So call to worship is God calling you, He's inviting you to come and worship. And salutation is God saying to you, hello, welcome. And benediction is God blessing you and He dismisses you. So benediction, is it what we do or what God does? Well, it is what God does. God is blessing His people. That's why the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. If the pastor adds his own words, then I believe it becomes the blessings of the pastor. And you don't want that. You don't want my blessing. You want God's blessing. That's why I don't add any of my words in benediction. I just used what the Bible says. You know, some people might say, oh, you know, young, he's a very novice pastor, so he cannot add all these fancy words into this benediction. No, I will never add anything to benediction. Because you don't want my blessing, you want God's blessing. And benediction time is not me praying for you. No, it's God blessing you. It's not what you do, it's what God does. So that's why I say sometimes look up and receive the benediction. Because I don't want you to pray. It's not praying time. It's actually you receiving God's blessing. And you really want His blessing. Yeah. Some churches, benediction time, God just prays for you. And you have to say, I don't want your prayer. I want God's blessing. You demand it. I want God's blessing, not your prayer. Salutation is God saying welcome to you who are gathered in obedience of His call. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Exactly God's word. Ephesians chapter 1. Again, I dare not add my own words to it. But, you know, I'm not saying if you, I don't know. It all depends on what is your understanding, you know, what is pastor's understanding whenever these things happen. You know, what is his understanding? If he really thinks he's the one who's doing all this, then that's what he does. But my understanding is God is using me, but it is God who does all these things. And that should be your understanding also. This is real worship. You are really, really spiritually meeting your God. And you want God's welcome, not my welcome. That's why I welcome you before worship begins. You know, during announcement time, I welcome you. I say, welcome. That's my welcome. But when salutation begins, it's not my welcome anymore. It's God's welcome. Yes. Please look over very carefully. Actually, not just the program, but look over everything that this church does. And ask yourself, does God want this? And if you, by your understanding of the Bible, that this is, whatever we do is not what God wants, then you have to bring it to the session. You cannot just leave it alone. You have to bring it and say, what are you guys doing? Bible doesn't say that. Why are you doing that? Or why are you doing it that way? That's not what Bible says. You have to do that if you love this church. Well, we'll continue our study of the worship. And obviously, the principle that we learned today, it can carry out beyond the worship, but the whole ministry of the church. But let us continue looking at this topic. Probably like two more times. Then we're going to really, seriously, we're going to go to 1 Samuel. Okay? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace upon your church. We thank you for your word. Oh, Father, let us study diligently your word so that we may know what you desire, what you have commanded us to do. And let us do everything according to your word so that we will truly love you the way that we ought to love you. Bless us, Father, and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.